Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Andrea. So Andrea, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Andrea Weitz. I'm currently living in Lubbock, Texas. I am an ER physician by day and night, but I also am starting up a company called Drones RX.
Awesome. So can you tell us about Drones RX, like what it is and what you do?
Yeah. We call it a comprehensive healthcare service and utilizing drone technology. And so what that means is it allows it, the idea is it's going to deliver medications to people's homes. And it will help people have access to medications. Currently, one of the biggest things that we see in healthcare is these exacerbations of chronic diseases. And so therefore we use drones in order to be able to deliver their medications because they don't have access to the medications that they need. But not only is it a health, is a medication delivery system, but we're also implementing a telehealth ability so that they can ask questions to physicians and pharmacists 24/7. So they're not dependent on when the Walgreens is open or if they don't have a car to get there, et cetera.
The drones are going to be able to pick up and deliver medications all across the country.
Correct. Right now, we'll just start in West Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico. But yes, ideally, that is the dream.
So how does that look like? I know, obviously, in the industry, there's a lot of regulation. So in terms of, you know, that, you know, red tape, like, what does that look like in terms of, like, have you already, like, gotten all of the approvals? Like, I don't know this process. So can you just talk more about
that?
Yeah.
You're very astute because it's a very complicated process with the FAA. Right now, drones are not allowed necessarily, unless they have approval, to fly over spaces where people live. Okay. So, right, there are some approvals in place. Like, there was a drone that flew across the city of Baltimore, I think 2019 it was, to deliver a kidney from University of Maryland, I think, to Hopkins. I may be wrong on the institutions, but that happened. And they did allow for that airspace and Bravo airspace to actually be delivered. So they did fly over public space. But currently, we've had some work down here in Texas where we have drones that are allowed to fly over railway lines. So where there's nobody there and they're railway lines, but at least kind of a straight course. So there has been approval for that. That is right now just to deliver organs currently between institutions, not obviously between houses. So the idea would be to be able to use those railway lines, which are not public, and use the drones to deliver to areas called hives, which is like kind of like an Amazon lockbox, if you will, in these areas where people live, where there are something called pharmacy deserts. So we still don't have approval quite yet. We're working on that, but things are becoming a little more laxed in terms of regulations with the FAA. So we're hoping that in the next couple of years, we'll have something.
So in terms of, you know, like the reason why they can't fly over homes, is that more of like an invasion of privacy?
Yes. In this country, yes, very much so. In Africa, which drones are actually utilized quite frequently, especially to deliver blood products and vaccines and medications. That's where I got the whole idea from originally. They are able to fly over spaces, but it's a lot less populated, obviously, in big parts of Africa. But the concern there, interestingly, is drones crashing into the farms and ruining their crops. And that was a big issue in the DRC at one point. Or people believe that they're witchcraft. So there's this cultural fear of drones. They don't believe in them. They think they're scary because they don't understand them. So it depends what country you're in. But in the U.S., it's invasion of privacy, yes.
In terms of, like obviously here in the U.S., with the current laws and people can't fly over homes. But do you think that, do you see some of the laws changing, or are you working on it? Like, for example, like, I don't know, like you kind of mentioned rural areas, right? So if there aren't homes, I mean, could people potentially fly over, you know, land? I think it's also part of the benefit of what you're offering is, you know,
correct,
for example, like in Fort Worth is a big medical hub, because like a lot of West Texas is so rural. So is that something that you're looking at, or like, what does that look like for you?
In order to fly in more populous areas? Is that what you're asking? Yeah.
And I mean, not even like more populous, but like where people live, like in terms of like even like rural areas, like not just over the train tracks per se.
Right. So my dream would be that the drones would actually land on someone's front doorstep and they could use a code to access their medications. They could use the drone itself to do a telemedicine consult. That's the idea behind all this. Right now, in the current climate that we have, with the regulations that we have, that's not possible. So we have to sort of pivot a little bit. And in these rural areas that exist, there's always a post office, there's always a gas station, right? Those will always be there. And so then the idea would be that they'd have a hive, a drones RX hive in that same area that is accessible, that they could actually go to or walk to or what have you to get to their medications, to get to their locker, essentially. So the drones would actually land there. Once I think the regulations are more amenable to something like this, that I do envision that they'll be able to fly to people's homes. But right now we're not quite there yet, unfortunately. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So I believe you must have many problems and many challenges at this time. But what problems are the challenges you are trying to solve at this time?
So the big ones are many different types of drones that are currently commercialized, but there isn't one right now that will allow a delivery of a medication that can be accessed by a layperson. That would be safe and secure, as well as telehealth capability. So having a screen, having, the ability to do something like what we're doing right now, like on a Zoom call, on a drone itself. So we are currently working we're starting the process of working with engineers in order to design that specific drone to be able to do that. So that would be the first big thing. The second big thing would be to get permission with the hive. So being able to go out and reach out. So I found pharmacy deserts throughout West Texas. I know who I need to talk to, but I have to go out and reach those places and then design the hive itself. So that has to be secure. It has to be HIPAA compliant. There's a lot of regulations here. And then one of the biggest issues besides FAA is all of this is really not for, I hate to say this, but not for profit. It's really to help those people who don't have insurance and who are really the ones that suffer the most from not having access to their medications. And so it's a service that will be the scale of the financial aspects are a little complicated because I would need someone to help at least finance that part and allow people who don't have the finances to take part in this service. So that part's it's a social entrepreneurship essentially, which a lot of venture capitalists don't like to hear. So that's a little complicated too.
So how is your online presence? Like wherever people find you, and what are you doing in this regard? How you are marketing yourself, not yourself, in fact, your business, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Well, we haven't done a whole lot. I mean, people seem to find me anyway, as you guys did. We haven't done a whole lot yet because I don't have a service that's concrete to offer, unfortunately. I still need the drone. I still need the hive. I still need approval. I've talked to a couple pharmaceutical companies, one of which was actually very interested. One was very much not interested in this. They were like, no, this is ridiculous. So I'm working with that, but I need that ability to offer the medication. So before I start mass marketing, until I have an actual physical product that I can offer, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I haven't done a whole lot yet. I'm still waiting for that drone to be created.
So in terms of this creation process, like when do you envision that happening? Like what is your goal for that or going live with this?
So it's always steps, right? So right now we've been applying for grants. I've gotten a couple small grants that I can use, but right now I need a grant in order to pay an engineer, which I have a quote now, I have a company, but I still need to pay them before we start. And so instead of using my own funds, which is, not feasible really, I need to have a grant or some finances in order to fund that. So really that the first step is getting someone brave enough to believe in this crazy idea, one, giving me money to do that, and then two, going forward, and then I can start outsourcing different projects.
So in terms of like you mentioned, obviously, grants and financing this. So do you view this? I mean, obviously now you mentioned that you're working as an ER doctor, right? So Is this like going to take over as your career or even now? Like how do you even manage your time? Like what does that look like for you?
It's busy. It's as an understatement. It's very, very busy. I'm currently on nights right now. So I'm sort of trying to manage living in the daytime as well as working at night. I do have a very small, I have two other people that I work with who kind of help manage the day-to-day things. So I have a very small little company. But no, going forward, no, being a physician is definitely my passion. I don't envision not doing this job as practicing with the public. I really enjoy that part of it. So I would like to be able to get this implemented, get it off and going, and then ideally just kind of sit back as a CEO and have just kind of manage and delegate going forward. So yeah, I don't want it to take over my whole career.
No. So obviously, you know, in this whole scenario, there's a lot of technology components involved. So what would you say is the role? I mean, obviously people now are looking at AI, right? Yeah. So is there AI involved in this? And if not, like, what do you think the use case for AI could be with your business?
You know, that's an interesting question. I guess AI could be utilized in part to maybe field the basic questions about the medication use and about medical questions. You know, that makes me a little nervous just because AI is definitely not foolproof. Humans are not either. I'm not saying that. But I just, from a legal point of view, I think that might be a little dicey going forward, blaming a robot for medical malpractice versus a human. I guess I'm not sure what that would look like, honestly. So right now I don't really envision AI being used in my company, but you know, we have ChatGPT now, you know, like now everyone's using computers to write essays and recommendation letters and et cetera. So who knows, you know, who knows how this could play out.
So it's like your customers would be the actual pharmacies themselves, correct?
Yes, it would be pharmacies, hospitals, as well as the individuals themselves. But ideally it would be, right now we're working, like I said, we're working with one of the pharmaceutical companies who'd be willing to, and then working with the hospital that I work in now. So those would be the main two. And then obviously it kind of spreads out to the people living in this area.
So in terms of pharmacies, I mean, are you working or talking to some of the big players in this space? Because I think it's like in the pharmacy space, you don't have so many of these like smaller pharmacies around. It's, you know, you have Walgreens, you have CVS. It's like, what do these conversations look like for you?
So we actually did, I'm part of a grant called the NSF iCorps. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that at all, but it's a nationally funded scientific grant. And so I won the regional aspect of it. And in doing so, I had to go around to pharmacies in these pharmacy deserts. And pharmacy deserts, if that's not a clear term, it just means that it's an area where people live where there's no pharmacy within 10-mile radius of their home. So that's really what a pharmacy desert is, kind of like a food desert, but it's akin to a food desert. But I had to go around and talk to pharmacies in these different areas to ask them really what it was that they felt was the problem. It was kind of doing a discovery aspect of it. And their big issue really is people not coming by to pick up their medications, not having access to coming to get them, or funding. Funding was one of the bigger issues, of course. And that's kind of an area that I'm not sure how to quite manage at this point, because that's a whole other insurance political conversation. But they are interested in having, they have delivery services that are by car, but they don't have often the people, the drivers or the mechanics or the outreach really to use that. So they were interested in a service like this. They're interested in increasing their customer compliance, because what that does is it helps increase their Medicaid funding. So there's this, everything is sort of intertwined, and they were interested, but they just, you know, this is very beginning process of it all. So they're interested, but they'll believe it when they see it. I'll put it that way.
Okay. So I might miss how people will be going to place the order. Like they are ordering from a mobile application, from the web. Right.
Yes, both. We'll offer both. We'll have a mobile application and a web application, as well as even a phone service, because some people aren't so technologically savvy. Particularly the patients that I'm targeting. But it would be people who end up in the emergency room. And this is where we'd work with the hospitals. And as they leave on their discharge paperwork, we can offer this service and say, this is a service that you can use. This is the app that you can use. This is how you download it. This is the website that you can use. This is the phone number that you can use. And once they leave, they can set up an account with us. And for whatever, you know, whatever reason they're in the ER. And usually, oftentimes, and this is talking for people who have diabetes, hypertension, seizures, things that are more chronically managed. And so once they leave, they'll have that ability to set up an account. And then what they can do is they can set up a actual delivery service, monthly, weekly, whatever it is, that they can get their medications. So it's really targeting those people that come in who have difficulty in access initially, and being able to send them off with something that's kind of a feasible option for them.
All right. And how you are verifying the prescription?
Like, so that's where the pharmaceutical company comes into play. Yeah. So that's what we were talking about with them. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes. We also are working with our current pharmacy. So we have a pharmacy within the hospital that is for lower income people. So it's discounted medications that is willing to work with us as well. So we would get the prescriptions from the pharmacy currently in our hospital, and then we would be able to employ a drone from there.
What would you say is your top business priority in the next 3 to 6 months as we're nearing Q4 or already in Q4?
Yeah. Yep. But what is it right now? It's getting the prototype for my drone and some funding, really funding then prototype for the drone. That would be the big thing, because then I think once I have that, I'll be able to pitch better to venture capitalists or other philanthropists probably.
What would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, I think every day I'm doing this, I learn something new. I think surround yourself with very dedicated and loyal people, I think would be my biggest advice. I've gone through a couple different people who, you know, people always get excited about new ideas, but it's the longevity of it that I think is hard for people, especially because things don't happen. And, you know, we live in a society where everything needs to happen immediately. Like we have a very short attention span. And something like this, that has so many moving parts and is complicated, is not immediate. So I've gone through a couple different people who were with me in the beginning, who ended up stepping away through my suggestion, because they just weren't as dedicated as I need them to be. So I think it's people who are willing to not only stay with you through the very benign aspects of this, the very unexciting parts of it, but also when you feel like I've been very frustrated with this process because we've had a lot of setbacks, but they're very willing to be your cheerleader at the same time. So it's people who still believe in you, but are willing to kind of sit with their hands tied for a little while, I think would be my biggest advice. Find those people. So if you can find
them. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, and one thing, like even like for us, like I had somebody early on with our company, the same sort of thing, right? Where, you know, it was somebody who was dedicated in the beginning, but to your point, right, it's something that takes longer and, you know, just wasn't a good fit moving forward. So we had to part ways.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I had someone in the beginning and they were very excited about making a profit on all of this. And I was very clear. I said, this is not what I envision for this. I don't think we're going to be making a profit. And I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, but ultimately that's not really my goal. And I think that sort of persuaded them to go other ways.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
Okay. So a year from now, I will have a solid base of financing. I will have a drone prototype. I will have a Hive prototype. And I will, at that point, be able, I want to say 6 months from now, I'll be able to have the conversations with the FAA. And at that point, hopefully I'd start my first flight, my first test flight.
Exciting. Yeah. Well, we're definitely rooting for you. And if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or just best ways to get in contact with you?
Yes. Should I put that in the chat or tell you?
If you just want to, you can send it to me.
Oh, perfect.
Notes, but if you just want to mention it now in the podcast, that way somebody can just, you know, listen.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Email. I have an email address. There is a website that is currently under construction. We've had to make some changes on it, but it's, I think, dronesrx.com. I believe I have to double check that, but I will send it to you. I haven't looked at it for a bit, but email probably is the best way to get hold of me.
Awesome. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for your time. As I said earlier, we're rooting for you. Hopefully we can chat in 1 year from now your company is growing and, you know, hopefully, you know, making some good progress.
I hope so. Thank you very much. I appreciate your guys' time.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thanks,